Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Welcome to Mental Health Perspectives with your host, Dr. John Huber, and Ms. Kristen Shinada Walker. We're about Dr. Huber by going to his website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And you can go to Ms. Kristen Shinada Walker's site by going to mainstream. You know, I completely botched that. I'm so sorry about that. I was on a heater for a little while where it was, I guess it was, I never screwed up an intro
again.
Before.
You're good.
It's sorry about
it, is it, you're on a heater. Is it
you
cold
can,
there? I mean, man, it dipped down to 80 today.
Oh, no.
That's freaking boiling ass here. Ugh.
Okay. I'll do it again. Here we go. And 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Mental Health Perspectives with your host, Dr. John Huber, and Ms. Kristen Shinada Walker. You can learn more about Dr. Huber by going to his website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And learn about Ms. Walker by going to her website at mentalhealthnewsradio.com. Dr. Huber, Ms. Walker, happy Friday to you both. Hope you're both doing unbelievable.
I think I can speak for both of us. We are.
Excellent. Well.
I'm amazing.
That's awesome. And you know what? Let's just leave this off. When somebody asks how you are doing, what is the best response that you can do? Because everyone says, I'm doing okay. Is it good to say something to provoke people in a positive-like manner? We'll start with you, Dr. Huber.
Well, I think absolutely. It's not only safe. I think it's the best way to deal with people. You know, you start off in a positive note. And, you know, my tagline is, I am amazing. And, you know, honestly, I woke up breathing this morning, and that whole fact right there makes this an amazing day for me. So it definitely changes my perspective. I may not be in the best mood. I may have just dealt with a difficult client or had, you know, something in life that we all deal with every single day, hit the wall. And, you know, I get on a show and it's, I'm amazing, and it makes me stop and think for a minute how blessed I really am, and it does turn my attitude around.
Excellent. How about you, Ms. Walker?
I totally agree, and I also ditto to everything you said, Dr. Huber, and also, I mean, it's setting your intention. You know, if someone's going to take what you say, however they're going to take it, but you saying something positive and saying, I am, in front of it is always a good thing. So you're setting your intention for how you feel in that moment, for your day. It puts you in a space of gratitude. There's never going to be anything wrong with that.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the tenets we use in psychology is that, you know, you can believe in something or not believe in something, but either way, you're right. So why not take control of your emotions and your mood and say, this is the way I'm going to make it. And it takes the control away from how your life is going from everybody else in the environment. So take ownership of it and declare that you are amazing.
Excellent. Well, when it comes to beliefs, there are certain individuals that have beliefs that would be considered a mass deviation from the social norm. They'll have certain spiritual beliefs. Maybe they believe in life on other planets, or maybe they believe that they've had some paranormal experiences. If a person touts the fact that they have beliefs that are considered a total deviation from the social norm, how do you tell if that person is mentally disturbed or is mentally healthy but genuinely believes they've had an experience that is so profound and so different from other people? We'll start with you, Dr. Huber.
Wait, you start with me on the first one.
Of course.
No. Doctor first. Doctor first.
Well, you know, one of the things I look at is functionality. You know, is this person my old eccentric uncle, you know, from, you know, 20 years ago I haven't met, and he's doing just fine, and, you know, we just don't really like to go sit on his couch in the living room and watch TV with him? Or is this somebody who is in this belief set and it has structured their life so much that they're now, for example, homeless and not able to provide for themselves and having significant life issues because of it? That's kind of the first thing I look at. What is the functionality of this person and where are they at? And once I've established, yes, they are functional, no, they're not, or they're getting ready to lose everything, I go from there and start identifying how detailed, how bizarre, how intense that delusional belief or presumably delusional belief is. You know, because we can't prove a negative. I can't prove, no, you were not picked up by aliens and they flew you around the earth a couple of times and set you back down out in the forest. Now, the likelihood of that happening is very small, but I can't prove that it actually didn't happen unless we got pictures of you sitting in the town hall or sitting in a concert or at a movie or a bar somewhere. You know, if I got proof that you're not there, then I can prove it. But typically, when people do this, it's late at night, they're by themselves, there's nobody around, so I can't really prove it didn't happen in most cases. And I have to fall back on functionality. How much is this affecting your ability to have a life?
How about you, Ms. Walker?
That's such a great point. I'd say the same thing. I mean, I have a spiritual healer that I work with, or she hates being called a healer. She's a facilitator of spiritual healing. How's that? And she's amazing. I mean, she can walk into a room just by the very nature of who she is. She can walk into a room of people that are very, very stressed or wherever they're at, and everybody in about 5 minutes, just by the very presence of her being there, is like, God, I feel better than I've ever felt in my entire life. And I've witnessed this happen again and again and again, and I know that's what she has done with me. I can't explain what she does. I can't prove it by science. I can't, you know, anything, but I don't care. And I know how she lives her life. She lives her life like a normal person, wakes up, gets her teeth brushed, does her thing, peaceful living, you know. And then I had an uncle. It wasn't really, well, yeah, I guess he was my great uncle. And when we were kids and all my cousins were there, we saw this happen. He used to make bracelets and stuff out of spoons and forks and whatever. He traveled all over the world. He was an interesting character. And he would sit there and he would bend a spoon in front of us.
Wow.
And just holding it in his hand. And we would pick up the same spoon and try to do whatever it was he was doing, and we couldn't do it. So I've seen stuff like that. Now, have I ever been able to do anything like that? No, I haven't. But but he also was very erratic. I would say now he probably would have been diagnosed with bipolar 1. He was homeless often and, you know, erratic, and be lost for years. The family couldn't find him, and then he would show back up. But he could do some trippy things. So I when someone tells me they see something like that, I don't immediately wash it away. I believe in their belief that it's real. I believe that they believe it's real. I don't try to debunk it for them because I don't want to be negative or pessimistic, and who the heck knows? So if they really believe it, that's great. And I'm not diagnosing anyone because I don't have the credentials. So that's, you know, that's where I sit with it. And if they start being erratic and weird and whatever, not weird, but, you know, erratic and the behavior's not healthy for me to be around, then I peacefully dip out of maintaining that relationship and think, oh, maybe some of that stuff that they're saying is, you know, something to do with, you know, schizophrenia that's untreated or bipolar or what have you. So that's kind of how I look at it.
I don't know what you guys are going to think about this, but I've actually had a couple paranormal experiences where I've seen ghosts. And the last time I saw actually a few ghosts, and I was having a kind of a really stressful day, and they were just there. And I was like, and I looked at it. I said, you know what? I don't have time for this. And I just walked away. And because the first few times I was scared, and the last time I was like, I don't have, and now I got to deal with this, and I just walked away, and I turned around, it wasn't there anymore, and I wasn't scared anymore. So I don't know what it was, but it was. But some people they do these ghost tours, and they're like, you know, it's walking a haunted house. I'm like, I don't think so. No, I don't need that.
You never know. Yeah. You never know.
Speaking of ghosts, some people may say that, you know, famed Elon Musk may be having a paranormal experience or something is possessing him because he appeared on the Joe Rogan show, I think it was last night, and he's on the show and he's smoking a big doobie and flat out going crazy with it, drinking whiskey, talking about how he's abducted by aliens. And as of right now, the Tesla stock is tanking 9%. Top executives are leaving. So the question I have for both of you, and we'll start with you, Ms. Walker, on this, is what is the fine line between insanity and genius? Is this part of a ploy for him to say, well, listen, I'm a genius and I'm doing this and I'm kind of keeping off guard? Or is this somebody who you think is genuinely having a mental breakdown at this point?
To me, the layperson, this screams a manic episode, which is what bipolar one especially does. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I've talked about, you know, the former NFL player in the past, the time in my life when I was involved with him, he was you know, getting out and going to do speeches, and people were really working to help him build his recovery business. And he was just off the rails. You couldn't understand half of what he said because his speech was just blah, 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 so rapid. He would call at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning every day. And he was going after me, and yet he's married. And everybody around him was worried that they, you know, the guy's 6 foot, 300 pounds, and owns half the company. So what could they do? And they'd seen it before, and he tanked his career over and over and over again. You know, get a $150,000 bonus and then spend it on, you know, every strip club in the city he was living in, you know. So that, and I've heard it so many times also, you know, with Dr. Paul Meyer that comes on my show regularly, that, you know, people with bipolar disorder can be the most, they can be the most creative, genius, brilliant, amazing people, and then they can tank their entire lives if they don't take their medication, start drinking, start mixing it with something like marijuana, and then they, you know, their lives go boop down the drain. They can pick it back up again. But to me, from the outside, being around these kind of people, that to me is someone that is screaming, I have an issue and I need to be on regular medication.
And Dr. Uber, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, again, I have not assessed Elon Musk, but he has come out and said he may possibly have bipolar disorder, which probably means that he's seen somebody and been given the diagnosis, because the way we're afraid of mental health diagnoses in this country. And this behavior, like Kristen just said, is very indicative of somebody who is suffering and dealing with on a regular basis bipolar disorder, and he's probably unmedicated. It's problematic at best, and at, you know, we know that there are lots of people. Even he even suggested that his ability to stay focused and go for days without rest allowed him to come up with some of his ideas and work through them from start to beginning or beginning to end in a very short amount of time. That is true. But at the other side of that, you've got the instability. You've got when the depression hits, you've got all these other things that are going on, and it is complicated and it's difficult for a company, for a business, and to be able to maintain themselves. You know, taking a company public, for example, is probably a difficult thing. If it was privately held and he had some close people with him who could walk up to him and say, okay, we're taking away your control for a couple of weeks till you get your stuff together. In a publicly run situation, it's a very major thing. You know, you get the board of directors involved. There's a lot of steps that you have to take. And there's a reason why Tesla tanked 9% the last couple of days, or 9 points. I can't remember which one it was. But it is scary, and it's potentially dangerous for investors and businesses and like that.
At the same time,
it gives him a perspective on the world that very few of us actually get to have, and that's where that genius comes in, where information that you and I have, he has also, but because he sees the world in a different way, at a different rate and a different pace, it definitely gives him a angle that we just can't see.
What would you do in that kind of a scenario? Because Dr. Huber, because how I see those kind of things, I totally agree with that, of course. And I think about people like that creative genius, and that's why they don't want to take meds, because they think it takes away that creative genius part, and it really doesn't have to. It's a lot of personal work to be able to have that creativity and also maintain. But, you know, someone like that, I look at, well, then have a team of clinicians around you at all times, acknowledge that you've got this, and have them monitor you. Do these creative things, do what you need to do, and then step back, get on your medication, if you have the funds, you know, to do something like that, so that you don't destroy all the genius that you just put out there. You know, I always wonder, like, when you're that wealthy and you're in charge of something that big, why can't there be like a team of clinicians around you that are really helping you stay in your genius and also helping you stay well?
You know, that's a scary thing. Because what if somebody is able to leverage or get a hold of those therapists and have them say, okay.
Oh, yeah. Look at Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Look at Britney Spears. Her father was given by the courts. They stepped in. The court stepped in and said, hey, wait a minute. Britney, you've created this empire, and something's not right. We need to put somebody in place so you don't lose everything you've got. And, you know, it was.
And that was a good thing, because now she's got her stuff together and she's being given back her, you know. I mean, some cases it can be good.
But she still has to pay a lot of money to KFed. I don't miss him at all. Kevin Federline?
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started hearing that name, they're like, Britney's with KFed. I'm like, KFed? What is that? This new drug that these kids don't know. It's important. So
I thought it was a cult. I don't know.
I thought it was still. Yeah. She's with KFed now.
It's a division
now.
Of Federal
like,
Express
no.
for kids. Who knows?
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you've got a lot of things to worry about in this situation. And, you know, it's. I've seen it done before when people have come into my office and they're starting a business with somebody that they know has a mental health disorder, and you know they wanted, and with the person's permission, they sat down and we went through and talked about, you know, what are the signs that this person exhibits and when should they not be able to make major decisions in the business, and they built that into their corporate bylaws. And it applied to everybody. So if anybody had a problem, not just this individual, they, until that problem is resolved and they have a very specific mechanism in place with an independent mental health practitioner is not related or in no way connected with anybody else would do an evaluation and determine that they were, you know, of right mind at that point or whatever. It was really interesting how they did that. And I think it's a way, you know, where the person still, you know, you're not taking the company away from them. You're just saying right now you're a little bit manic. So your major decision making, I mean, go ahead and take money out of petty cash and go buy the lunch for everybody in the office kind of thing. But we're not selling, you know, the left arm of the company right now because you're in a manic state, that type of thing. And, you know, there's some stuff with board of directors had to review something or whatever. But they also, and they even put in there, because of ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, we're not going to try and move against you and take your share or your company away from you. We're going to make sure your company is safe until you're functioning normally again.
Yeah.
It's very strange. That's a scary thing. I mean, it could be manipulated.
It's a rough call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing on that, Ryan,
absolutely.
After you?
Always.
No.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. So when I was starting this network, I had I still had a lot of very narcissistic people biting at my heels, and I was allowing them to come in for various reasons, and I don't anymore. They still come around, and I mean people that are at personality disordered level, not just super egocentric. And
also not me.
No, come on now. Have you tried to split Ryan and I and pit us against each other and do all the stuff
no,
that people with personality disorders do? Absolutely not. That's the kind I'm talking about. I had missing at my heels all the time. And they, a couple of them got together and they wanted to take this company away from me. I hadn't even really launched it yet. And they were used, and these are people in the mental health field. And one of them is pretty well respected, but admits openly all the time that he's extremely narcissistic. But anyway, they were trying to do that to me, like, say, you're unstable. You need to, I have a long email that, oh boy, he hopes I never print it. You're unstable. You need to turn all decision making control over to us because you can't be trusted to run this well. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm just throwing the other side of it in. There are, and this is what happens to a lot of celebrities or people with a lot of money, is people come in, they use manipulative tactics, all kinds of things, because they want that power, control, whatever, and they will try to make you, gaslight you into thinking that you're inept, you're incapable, you are mentally ill, you can't do these things. Now, lucky for me, I have a great team of people around me that were like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
And I did. And you know, he's gone on to destroy and lose jobs and do a ton of other things elsewhere. So I'm hearing an echo now.
Me too.
Not me. It's probably me then.
Okay.
There, I just took it off the speaker. I don't hear it. Nope, I hear it again.
I don't understand why it's happening. So. All right, what I'm going to do is, do you want to call everyone back real quick? We'll finish up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, actually, you know what? You got you in the echo?
Let me talk and see.
No, you
nope,
there?
I don't hear it. It was him.
It's strange.
No, it wasn't him. Okay.
It was there. All right.
Okay.
Oh, that was kind of
we'll
strange.
Finish up now.
Make sure. Okay. And the final question I have for you both this week is, what is one thing that you could do for someone else for this coming week that is not only going to be beneficial for them mentally, but also going to be beneficially mentally for you? What are the one thing you can do for someone else this week that you think is going to have a mental health fulfillment for both parties? I'll start with you, Ms. Walker.
The first person that came into my mind was Melanie, who's our program director, and what I could do for her this week. I usually buy her something, but I don't want it to be anything to do with money. So, and it's Friday, so we're talking it has to be done this day, or are you talking next week?
Talking anytime. I'm talking about anyone.
Okay. Okay. What I could do for her. I could go to her house and babysit her son, which isn't babysitting. It's me running around on the floor and him, you know, screaming and us laughing hysterically, so that she can go out and get 2 hours of getting her nails done and whatever it is she wants to do, get a massage, anything like that. That I could do that. That'll make me feel good because I get to be around Kai, her son, who is amazing. And it'll certainly do something for her, too, because she rarely gets a break.
Excellent. How about you, Dr. Huber?
Well, something I try to do every single day. Everybody in our society is really good at taking criticism. And we oftentimes don't really know what we really do well. So I'm always looking at my friends, my coworkers, the people I work with, and I'm looking for things that I think are, to use that phrase again, amazing about them, and I bring it to their attention. And it's, to me, it does a world for me. It changes the whole perspective. I walk into facilities where I've been, you know, in the past week, and people are excited to see me all of a sudden, you know, because they know that I can see the good in them. And I try to do that every single day. You know, people that it's real easy to take kind of a little bit of experience with a person like your best friend and just kind of ignore some of the things that you really like about them. But to make sure that in every conversation you have with them that you tell them thank you for something that they don't think is that important, but it's actually something they do very well. And it's amazing how it changes people's perspective and expectations of you.
That's really awesome.
That's so nice. See, look at what a nice person you are.
Yeah.
I have to work at it. It's not easy because we want to jump on. How come you didn't get that letter to me on time? I've been waiting for this. And you turn around and go, you know, one thing I love about you is your consistency.
This is one thing I do. I don't know if you guys do this, but when I go to a grocery store or if I go somewhere and I see a cashier or I see somebody cleaning the floor, I try to ask everyone how they're doing and how they're feeling, regardless of where they are, and just to say, you know, how's your day going? Because they're thinking that, you know, people are cashiers or people like that. People don't really ask them about that. People just, you know, they expect them to be worked. So I try to ask everyone, no matter who they are, how they are feeling, how their day is going, knowing that I may be the only person that's doing that, just to let them know that, you know, people are thinking about them. So I don't know. I try to do that and hopefully
I do that
get some positive
all the
energy.
Time.
Awesome.
You know, you when you do that, it's so awesome. I do that all the time. And
cool.
I'm not doing it to get anything cool. I just do it because I love it. Makes me feel good, which is so self-centered, but it does make me feel good. But now, like when I go to that store or I go to pick up food from the place, they are so nice to me. My order is done before anybody else. You know, they do all these things in appreciation of that I'm so kind and nice and say something nice, and I'm like, well, this is cool. I don't do it for that, but when you do things like that, some people remember and then they treat you in kind.
Yeah, and it's a good strategy to do that when you're in a restaurant too. Like if you're nice to the waitstaff, chances are they're probably not going to put poison in your food. Like, you know, it's strategy.
Probably not.
Exactly, strategy. Okay, well, that concludes today's edition of Mental Health Perspectives. I want to thank our incredible hosts, Dr. John Huber and Ms. Kristen Sonata Walker. You can learn more about Dr. Huber by going to his website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And you can learn more about Ms. Kristen Sonata Walker by going to her website at mentalhealthnewsradio.com. Dr. Huber, Ms. Walker, great honor to be with you both, and we will see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.